Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I'm going to figure out a different way to do it. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Friday, the 18th of August, 2023.
Indeed. Friday. And I'm Noah Safo in for Kimberly Adams. It's good to be here with you, all of you, and the happy hour, and as you guys call it, economics on tap. I'm very excited.
We do call it that. You know why? Because it's our podcast, Nova, and we can do whatever we want.
I love the rules.
So, that's right. Excuse me. So the way things go on a Friday, Nova, is that the hosts in question, whoever they are, whether it's me and Kimberly or somebody else, talk briefly about what we're drinking, and then we do a little news, and then we get to half full, half empty with Drew. So I, just because I'll go first, am drinking a Stone IPA called FML. You can take that however you want. Stone likes to call it Fear Movie Lines. It's based on that three-letter identifier thing that they worked out for every point on this planet, which I think is kind of cool. Look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about, or we'll put it on the show page. Anyway, it's a double IPA, about 9% ABV, so 8.5% ABV. So I'll be feeling all right in about 20 minutes because I had yogurt for lunch. And a piece of bread for breakfast this morning, and I ran 6 miles in the hills. So, you know, there's not a lot going on internally with me. All right, anyway. Anyway, what are you drinking?
So I just checked the alcohol content because I'd forgotten to do that, and it's 18.5%.
Oh, my God. What are you drinking?
So this is a Lustau Amontillado Los Arcos dry sherry. I don't know if you guys can see it.
Wow.
Recommended
the cask
by
of Amontillado.
Is that right?
Yeah. Is that the Dumas novel, right? The Count. Something.
It is Spanish, so that's what I know.
Yeah.
And it was recommended by the LA Times. Shout out to them. And
nice.
I'm drinking it because sherry. You know, if we work in radio, we have to drink sherry because, do you know why?
I don't know why. You've lost me.
Frazier Crane.
I every love time, Frazier. Oh
every
my
time
God,
his brother,
Frazier, of course. Yes,
every time
of
his
course,
brother comes
course,
in, he goes,
of course, of course,
Sherry,
of course,
Niles,
of course.
Sherry.
Of course. Look, I'm
so
a
I
huge
got my
Frazier Crane fan.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. Good
so
for
I
you.
So I got my Sherry here for my
that is awesome.
Friday.
That is awesome. So let me take a quick pass through the comments on the live stream. Let's see. Alan Pipes is having some carbonated water. You got lots to do. I totally get that. Ryan Coleman, FML indeed, Kai. Yes, it is, pal. Yes, it is. Robert Cox says, I need to try the new Voodoo Ranger. I've tried it. I don't really like it. Melissa McCarty drinking a gin gimlet. Debbie Donovan says, how fun to see Nova on screen.
Oh, thank you, Debbie.
Let's see. There's some coffees out there.
She also said sherry, very sophisticated. You missed that part.
Yes, she did. She said, Nova is a man after my heart. There you go. So you're sucking up to the live stream already. all right. Anyway. Oh, Carl Strauss. Very good brewery. Very good brewery down in San Diego. Oktoberfest. Truly wild berry with a shot of bourbon for Ryan Simmons. Anyway, there's a lot going on. Oh, Mary Lynn Baker. Cheer wine. Mary Lynn, did you hear me and David Gurr talking about cheer wine when I went to North Carolina to work with him? That was a fun little episode. Fun little episode. Anyway. I don't quite understand cheer wine and what it's supposed to be. We will do some news, and then Drew will be here, or at least I think it's going to be Drew, because, you know, I didn't read the rundown first.
It's Drew.
It's Drew. Okay, good. It's, you know, it's always easier when I don't read the rundown. Sorry again, Marissa. But why don't you start with the news, and then I'll bring up the tail end. How about that?
Sure. You know, I picked a couple of items today that I think, you know, kind of didn't get a lot of play the last week or so. But they're very, very important, and they both have to do with streaming television and kind of the turmoil happening in the entertainment industry. The first one, fascinating item brought by CNN because they have the Nielsen data, and they found out that for the first time in July, cable and broadcast television, fewer people watch those than they watch streaming television. It was below 50% for cable and broadcast together, and it's never been that low before in terms of total audience viewing. So it's a milestone, and it shows that, you know, there's that major shift happening. In fact, broadcast TV, 20% of the audience for the month of July. 20% is broadcast television. That's astonishingly low.
So let me ask you something else, Nova.
Yeah.
Because I saw this item earlier this week, and I elected to go sideways with it, which was another item in that story about streaming that I saw in the Wall Street Journal based on this Nielsen data. Did you see the story about, did you see the thing about Suits, the Meghan Markle dramedy? Okay. First of all, 18 billion minutes in the month of July, which, oh my God.
Yeah.
But why is that the number one show on Netflix in the United States in the month of July here in the year 2023? I just don't get it.
It's a really dumb show, by the way.
your lips to God's ears, pal. What can I tell you?
It's really dumb. And if you watch, if you binge it, they say the same things over and over. My favorite line, it's actually a great drinking game if anybody's binging it. Every time they say, we're done. You and I, we're done. Like you take a sip. You'll be drunk very quickly. I did notice that. And the second most popular was another former linear TV show. And that one is a kids show called Bluey.
Oh, Bluey,
which was produced by Australian Broadcasting Company and BBC and licensed to Disney Plus. So very interesting that the streamers are picking up steam, but they're doing so, at least for the time being in the summer when it's the doldrums and we have a strike. They're doing it with old-fashioned linear television shows. I think that's kind of interesting.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
So that's the big one.
Ryan Coleman points out in the live chat, Kai, in all caps, he says, it's because they are sitting on new shows as long as they can because this strike will never end, which, you know, might not
maybe
be wrong.
Maybe that's the strategy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
A lot of Bluey love. Sorry. A lot of Bluey love going on here.
Apparently that's really popular.
So yeah.
I had never even heard of it. Had you?
Wow. No. Yeah. No, but what do I know?
What do I know?
All right. Do you have another one? You want to talk about the strike?
Yeah. So let's talk about the strike because another item that at least I missed this. It's not a strike for everybody. There are exceptions, these things called interim agreements with independent production companies that are allowing kind of the smaller or at least independently produced films to go ahead if they agree to basically all of SAG-AFTRA's demands. And by the way, we should point out we are SAG-AFTRA. We are a bargaining unit, not involved in this in any way, but we are a bargaining unit of SAG-AFTRA. They agreed to the 11% higher wages, the residuals from streaming. So if these movies that they're making end up on the streaming services anyway, they'd have to honor that contract. So it's very interesting that there is a subset of Hollywood that just wants to get on with it and continue with business. And they're willing to agree to these terms.
Yeah, there is a little bit of business being done, but the reach of this strike is broad and widening, and Ryan Coleman in the chat might be right. It might go on much longer. It's already hit 100 days, as we all know, because we heard the stories when it hit 100 days, which was as long as the last one was. So
yeah. One thing to keep in mind, though, and in terms of broadening, very true, because the Writers Guild of went to the SAG-AFTRA folks and said, hey, wait a minute. Some of these shows that you've given interim agreements to are actually, we're striking against from the writer's side. So SAG-AFTRA modified the rules 4 days ago, said no more interim agreements if the writers are on strike on that particular whatever it is. But so far, something like 200 productions are moving forward.
Which is good.
Not a small number.
Yeah. Okay. So just let me break the fourth wall a little bit. So usually what happens on any given day on this podcast is that whoever the hosts are, whether it's me and Kimberly or Kimberly and somebody or me and somebody, is during the course of the day, excuse me, we look for news stories and we throw them in a rundown. And then we talk about them. And Nova, being the good guy that he is, did what he's supposed to do because he's a guest and wants to impress the locals and, you know, went out and found some news items and put them in the rundown.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, because I am a jaded old fart, did not, because I'm just having one of those days. So I'm just going to kind of wing it here. And I will offer two thoughts, one of which is depressing and the other one of which is inspirational. So... number one, and the a little bit depressing one is that I was on my way home from the grocery store just now buying my beer, and I heard Mary Louise Kelly talking to, well, whoever the hell it was, on All Things Considered, about the grand jurors in Georgia and how Georgia law requires that their names be on the indictment. And so be it, that's Georgia law. But it drives me to despair that we are unable to protect ourselves from what we can all see is coming as these indictments and as this court case and as this election heats up, which is more vitriol, more ad hominem attacks, and more performative, well, I can't say this because it'll get us the E thing that Bridget and Marissa hate, but BS. About what is going on out there. And I honestly just wish more of us could speak the truth on our platforms, which I try to do, because this matters and it's important and I hate to be a downer. All right, enough of that. That's the end of that one. Here's my item number two, and it's really super inspirational. I am, as this podcast knows, a soccer fan, and I will be up at whatever the hell hour it is on Sunday morning LA time to watch the Women's World Cup final. And I, as I think I've said on this podcast before, I'm a soccer referee. I do high school and college. And so when I watch these games, I watch the game, of course, but I also watch the referee to see what the referee is doing because I like to learn from their positioning. These are very experienced people and they know what they're doing. They're the best in the world because they're refereeing at the World Cup. The referee for the Women's World Cup final is for the first time ever going to be an American woman. Her name is Tori Penso. And I just think it's amazingly cool that an American woman is at the middle of the most important soccer game on the planet this year.
That is very cool.
That's what
I got.
Know. I think it's great. I think it's great. Yeah, there will be an all-American referee crew. And it's great. And it's great. So that's it. I think that's cool.
I wonder how many future soccer players are getting formed during this tournament.
I hope a lot. Yeah, I hope a lot. And so, look, this has gotten
a lot of attention.
Yeah, this is a lousy thing to say, but you'll understand why I'm saying it in a minute. It's actually so Tori Penso, an American woman, being able to referee a semifinal, which she did, and now also the final, is a direct result of the American women's soccer team, the national soccer team, going out early because the way FIFA does it is they don't want any appearance of impropriety or conflict of interest. So if your team is advancing into the tournament, that country's referees get excluded from refereeing consequential matches. So because the American women's soccer team is so good, American referees have not been able to advance in that tournament and do the big games. And now Tori and other American referees are getting to do it. And I think that's really cool. That's what I got.
It's really great.
Yeah. So there we go. Oh, look at this. Tim Anderson. She and I are alumni from the graduate program at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. Different years, though. Yeah. So I hear that. All right. That's it for the news. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, a round of half full and a half empty. Told you, Nova, that this was a little loosey-goosey. All right, time to play half full, half empty. It is our game where Nova and I weigh in on thoughts that Drew Jostad throws to us. Here we go.
Fellow Case Western Reserve alumni, Drew Jostad.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
That's true, yeah.
Did you know Tori Penso? You guys are about the same age.
Did he say graduate school? Because that was
no,
that
he just said, well, I think they went to Case Western. I don't know. I'll scroll back.
No. All right. No, I don't. So I did
same,
not recognize
same graduate name. Program. Sorry.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, I was.
Her name technically is Mary Victoria Penso, but anyway, whatever.
Would have been my undergrad, but anyway. Are you half full or half empty on beer made from purified wastewater?
Oh, oh man. So, Nova, really? So this is a story I did. It's an interview I did that if I could just give the shout out here. So, all right, I'm going to break the fourth wall once again because what the hell? We got nothing but time. So every day on Marketplace, the news hole is the content hole is 28 minutes and 45 seconds. That's how long the show runs. Of that content is 22-ish minutes. And sometimes we have stuff in the can that we can run, and sometimes we have to do same-day interviews that we have to turn around in a big hurry. And our intern, her name is Sophia Terenzio, for her very first interview that she produced of mine, produced an interview about a brewery in Northern California making beer out of gray water, which is not toilet water, but shower and sink runoff that has been purified and cleaned. In an effort to increase sustainability, because as I learned in this interview, it takes 10 gallons of water to make a gallon of beer, which makes me feel a little bit bad, but not enough to not drink beer. Anyway, so Sophia did this interview. We turned around, ran it same day. And the gist is that if we want to keep making beer in particularly the Southwest United States where water is scarce, we're going to have to figure out a new way to do it. And maybe gray water is a way. So I did this interview with Devil's Canyon Brewery up in San Carlos, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I think I'm half full. I would at least try it. How about that? I would at least try it.
No way.
Really? Really?
That's an immediate
Do you
no.
hate the planet?
Yes, I do. I do if I have okay. to drink if I have to drink gray water, oh then God. Yes.
Have a sip of sherry, just, Nova. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if they called it something other than gray water, you know, maybe it's a marketing thing.
Better than sewage.
Yeah, maybe we should call it pre-used purifying.
Pre-used,
gently
yes.
used purified water.
Oh my God.
Maybe that'll work.
All right. Well, I'm full. Nova's empty. Drew, what else you got?
Okay, PayPal has announced it is launching a stablecoin called PayPal USD. Are you half full or half empty?
Nova, do you have thoughts?
Well,
I have thoughts.
What do you do with it?
Right.
Already do
right.
on PayPal. Half full. Half empty. Forget it.
Exactly. Look, I think, you know, I believe that crypto and these coins will somehow eventually be real money,
Makes
but
sense.
They are not yet.
Yeah.
And until it is until there is proof of concept in which you can actually use it in a real way, and I'm not talking about being able to use Bitcoin to buy a donut in Brooklyn, then I'm half empty on all this stuff.
If you did try to use a Bitcoin to buy a donut in Brooklyn, you'd have to wait 15 minutes for that transaction to clear.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different thing, right? That's a whole different thing.
So, for those of you who know, it takes a long time. Yeah. So, yeah. Nah.
Nah. All right, what else?
The National Park Service is opening a Museum of the American Economy in the first bank building in Philadelphia. The original bank.
So this aired today on Marketplace. The first bank building, it's actually a building built for the first bank in the first bank of the United States, built in 1797, I learned today. And it's an effort to be the first national museum of American economy and finance. Of course, Federal Reserve banks in their various regions have their own, and there's the National Mint and all that stuff. I think it's a cool idea. And honestly, just parenthetically, more people ought to know about the First Bank of the United States. I'm just saying.
They should. And I'm totally half full on this. And I will add that it was a little bit ahead of its time because Congress let it expire, the charter for that bank. And,
right.
you know, and later on, we kind of recreated it, but in a more sophisticated way.
Well, and in between, there was a second Bank of the United States. Thank you, Andrew Jackson, which went nowhere. But that's, you know.
There you go.
And elsewhere in the history podcast. Drew, please
I am
save
totally
us from
set,
ourselves.
Set to open in 2026. So we'll.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll mark our calendars.
I'm looking forward to the Broadway musical about that.
Oh, my God, right?
The Amazon mobile app now includes AI-generated summaries of product reviews, are you half full or half empty?
So this is a story that Megan McCarty Carino did for us yesterday, Thursday, on Marketplace about Amazon sort of using AI to collate all the product reviews, which, of course, we all know are genuine and real on all online
yes.
sites, and
always.
Provide a paragraph summary. I'm not sure this is the best use of AI. I'm half empty. That's all I'm saying.
I'm really torn because on
really?
The one, yeah, because yes. This is still a buyer beware situation in that you have to realize that the reviews you're reading, you should do a little bit of homework and take it with a grain
yes.
of salt. But if there are 5,000 reviews and the AI is able to tease out some things and give you a nice, simplified paragraph, maybe that
yeah.
does actually serve a purpose.
So this is very interesting. So to the YouTube comments, Chuck Klein can... Klein Connect, I apologize, Chuck, says, saw one a little while ago. Oh, my God, I'm scrolling. Right. Saw one a little while ago. Hate to admit it, but it was helpful. Kay Gilbert, if it's actually accurate, if not empty. There's another one. So, Jin Peck, half full. I can read all the summaries anyway, but please get rid of the fake ones.
The
so,
people are with
I
me,
I guess there's some
Kai.
Love for this. Yeah. Okay. Well, so Nova, what's it been like hosting Make Me Smart with me? Because this will be your last time. I'm kidding.
It has been a pleasure. You guys should know I'm sitting in Kai's studio, and you know what, Kai? This chair is really comfy.
I could get really
Don't used
get
to this chair.
Pal. So you know what's going to happen is I'm going to walk in Monday, and everything's going to be all foobar, and I'm going to be like, who the hell is in my studio?
Exactly.
And as the engineers will tell you, every time I walk in and something's out of place, because look, I've been doing this job for way too long. Every time something is out of place, I'm like, in my next contract, I'm going to demand my own studio. But anyway.
Well, it basically is. I mean, because this is where PM happens. This is where the big show
that
happens.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Are we ready with the poll?
Okay.
Poll.
Yeah. So this is the poll. So. Nova, I don't know. Maybe you've listened back and listened to the Fridays. So here we go. This is the last one.
Yeah.
All y'all get to vote half full, half empty. Drew's going to give the thing. Nova and I are going to kill about a minute just riffing on whatever it is that we can think of to talk about. And then we will share the results of the poll. Courtney or whoever is going to put it in the Slack because I have not yet figured out how to deal with this on the YouTube live stream. And then we're going to share the results. So with that, Nova, make sure you don't tip your hand on what you think because, as you know, the people are with you.
So last week, autonomous delivery robot company Serve Robotics announced it had gone public. This story from Quartz. Are you half full or half empty on robot delivery?
Wow.
It's a good one.
You can just speak amorphously, pal. You cannot actually comment.
I've seen them. Does that, that anymore? You know,
sure.
Yeah. I've seen them around in certain neighborhoods, not every neighborhood. I don't know how they decide which neighborhood and which not, but I've seen these little cart things going around on their own
right.
in different
right.
places. And they seem
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I saw it around the UCLA area. I'm wondering if it's just college kids, you know.
Well,
food.
So that's very interesting. So I did an interview a number of weeks ago with a guy who started a company whose name I can't remember, sorry, that started up, you know, these sort of autonomous delivery carts, right? So they look like sort of little red wagons, right? If you remember those from when you were a kid, little red wagons, except like on steroids, right?
Yeah.
And they have big wheels and they have an insulated compartment up top and they drive... apparently autonomously, although there are drivers who are connected to them via the internet. The reason I jumped on that is because you said you had seen them in the UCLA area. And
yeah.
in fact, the guy who started this company was at UCLA when he started the company. And now he works with a bunch of restaurants in and around LA. And I think there's one in Chicago. And I think he's got a pilot program in Houston where he's doing the same thing. And it's all about food delivery without getting more cars on the road, more pollution. And it's sort of a sustainability play. In an area which, as we all know, if you've used Grubhub or DoorDash or Uber Eats or whatever, is booming.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I did get the impression that they can probably go short distances only because they go slowly from the ones I saw.
Interesting you mentioned that. Interesting you mentioned that because this guy said basically most of the... So I went to an Indian restaurant in Santa Monica and he said most deliveries are within 2 miles of that restaurant. So... it's not like they're going to get on the 405 and come bring you the food, right? They're going to go down, you know, whatever, Lincoln or what have you, and get you your food within 2 miles. So that is definitely part of it.
I'm surprised it's 2 miles. I mean, some of the ones I saw at the UCLA area, they were really, you know, small carts and they were riding. They were actually on the sidewalk.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And if you go back and you look, and we'll put this episode on the show page, but if you go back and listen to me driving one of those things, it's really not easy. I drove it into the bushes, let us just say. All right.
Were you not a big video gamer when you were...
I was not. And, well, it's so interesting you mention that, because they literally use Xbox game controllers to control these things. And if you are of a certain age, of which I am above, shut up, you're not good at that, you know?
Yeah, I totally get that. Actually, I'm not good at it either.
Anyway, I'm just, oh my God. Told you it was a little loosey-goosey. All right, so Courtney, do me a favor and put the poll in Slack, and then we can let all these poor people who are on the live stream go, because I don't even know what we're doing here. What we're doing. Here we go.
The suspense is killing me.
You and me both.
What?
Look at this. Did you see it already?
Yeah, you see it?
What?
On the Slack.
Oh, my God. What? No, hold on. Jesus.
All right. I'm going to announce it if you don't.
All right. Go ahead. You go.
Half full wins, 62%. Half empty, 37%. Wow. What? I am actually a bit surprised.
Well, look, I mean, it's convenient. It keeps cars off the road. It gets you your food in a reasonable amount of time. I mean, it kind of makes sense. I will also point out, and I realize I did this a couple of weeks ago, there are 200 and something people on this live stream, and only 146 of you voted. What are you doing?
There's some slackers there. Those are the people who didn't vote are probably also the people who don't donate, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
You got to pony up, you know?
Pony up.
The studio isn't free.
Oh, man. My studio.
This is
it's
the
my
Sherry
studio.
Acting up. Yeah.
Jake, get us out of here. Jake's probably sitting there going, what in the hell?
You guys didn't wait.
We're done.
We didn't
wait. Well, I think we did. Drew's like, no. I think we did.
I got it. Come on. I got to have some rules
your food.
In here.
Drew, I mean, Nova, what do you think?
Wait for what?
Are you half full or half empty
on
the little robot?
Yes.
I'm half empty.
You can't give the audience crap for not voting.
I am half empty on the robot.
How are you possibly half empty? Really?
They clutter up the neighborhoods just like those silly, like, looms and lime things and those scooters.
Also,
it's like children's toys all over the place. Give me a break.
Also, hey, you kids,
get off my lawn. Thank you. No, they clutter up this. They clutter. They're ugly, and they clutter up the neighborhoods. And I think there is something to be said for aesthetics and peace and quiet and harmony and humans being on the sidewalk and not machines.
I admire a person who takes a stand. I have nothing else to say.
If they figure out how to do it better, maybe I'll reconsider. But that is my stance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nova Sapp. We are done for today. Nova, you are unbelievable. You're very good at this. You are very, very good at this. Sabri is in on Monday because Nova's got better things to do with his time. In the meanwhile, keep the comments coming. Voicemail 508-UBSMART. Email me or email anybody, actually, on this podcast at makemesmart@marketplace.org. We will get you on the pod, I promise. Also, wow, thank you for sticking around on this one. Holy cow. Whew. Holy bejesus. I don't even know what's going on.
I think we did great.
It's that thing where you lose control of your own podcast. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Berg. Secret Today's episode was engineered by Jake Cherry. Our intern is Neelofar Shabandi. Drew Jostad wrote the theme music for our game, Half Full and half empty.
And the team behind Half Full, Half Empty is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodnar is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand. And they're all amazing people.
Lord. They are all amazing people.
They really are.
They all are, except for the two of us. We just get to talk into the microphone.
We're jerks.
Easiest job on the show. That's what I always tell people. Oh, my goodness.
We got through it.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.